Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. I'm Mathilde and I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor supporting women in healing mother wounds through the one-on-one 10-week program and through the upcoming online community. As you know, and I'm just going to say it again for another couple of episodes so that everyone knows, the women's circles are officially closed for new members at the moment as I'm preparing to launch the new Reclaim Your Fullness online community. And so if you want to know more about this offering or you want to sign up to the waiting list, you can follow the link in the description or you can visit the website womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. So now for the topic of today, I want to talk about how to recognize a narcissistic guru and what to do when you meet one. And this is a topic I've been wanting to talk about for a while. It's very relevant for us as daughters of narcissistic mothers. And I'm going to explain why in a minute. First of all, let's define what I mean by the term narcissistic guru. This can be a healer, a mentor, a guide, a therapist, a yoga teacher, a personal trainer, an influencer, anyone that places themselves in a position to supposedly offer you support or offer you guidance and advice of any kind. And so why narcissistic guru? Because in some cases, people in position of guidance can be more focused on their own needs than on the needs of the person they're guiding. They may have their own agenda, mostly subconscious, coming from a lot of undealt stuff that's hidden in the shadow. And because of that, they use the influence they have on people in need of support to fill their tank. So hence, narcissistic. That's what a narcissistic person does, yeah? They have a highly inflated ego and don't ever consider the possibility of being wrong or of taking responsibility for what they do or say. Sounds familiar? And I know it does, because if you have grown up like me, if you have grown up with a narcissistic mother or narcissistic parents, you have experienced plenty of this already in your life. And that is why I'm talking about this topic today. In this episode, I'm going to share with you a bunch of signs, a bunch of red flags to recognize when you may be dealing with a narcissistic guru, as they're very good at disguising themselves. But before that, I'm going to share a bit about my own experience with this and also give you some more context. Let me start by asking you, how many experts, influencers, and people with opinions do you follow on social media? Take a moment to come up with a rough number, and there's no right or wrong answer here. There's nothing wrong with following people, but it's just important to actually become aware of how many we are actually constantly following. And if you're not on social media, maybe you follow podcasts or maybe you read a lot of books. So that can count too. And that's all wonderful. Don't get me wrong. I am the first to say that support is needed and that community is important. And these people that we follow actually kind of form a certain level of a community for us, even if they are people that we've never even met and we're only reading content or listening to content, still that becomes a sort of community. So this episode is not about not reaching out to guides and mentors or about not listening to people who are experts in their field, but it is about becoming aware that not everyone has your best interests at heart, even if they say they do. The next question is the key one. How many among those you follow make you feel truly seen, safe, and supported? And this may take a moment to feel into, and it can be tricky too. And so I want to help you by asking you a couple more questions. How often, after reading a post or listening to a podcast episode, do you feel like you're doing it all wrong? Like you are wrong? Like you should be better? Like they are so much greater than you are and you will always come up short? Or maybe guilty because you're not following everything or even more alone than before? How often are you feeling that if you don't do as they say or follow their advice, even when it doesn't really seem to help you, you'll be severely judged and cast aside? Feel into that for a moment, because that's the important part. It's not actually how many people we follow, but it's how do we feel following these people? How do we feel listening to the advice? How do we feel interacting with such mentors or guides or teachers or healers or whatever? The elephant in the room is that you may have felt some of it listening to my podcast. And if that comes up for you, I want to say I'm deeply sorry, as this is not my intention ever. I know you're amazing, exactly as you are. And my intention behind this podcast is to offer you support, never to judge you and never to imply you're not enough. You are more than enough. You are absolutely wonderful. That's where I come from. With that said, has a guide you trusted ever shamed you for being you? Has a guide you trusted ever told you how wrong you are in some way, either directly or indirectly? Has a guide you trusted tried to use you in any way that felt unsafe? If this has happened to you, you're not alone. Personally, I've fallen into the trap of the narcissistic guru multiple times, and it was hurtful and devastating every time. And this is why I wanted to speak about this topic, and this is why it has taken me this long, because doing this episode, which is quite a long one, has required me to tap back into past that is painful to tap back into. But it is really, really, really important. And bringing this topic up, there's an aspect I need to include, and that is that for us daughters of narcissistic mothers, that can be an element of beating ourselves up and feeling inadequate, even in front of the best intention guides. These patterns of inadequacy and self-shame can be quite active when you've grown up with a narcissistic mother, as you know, and there's quite the chance that at some point or another you will project your still undealt mother-daughter stuff onto your guide, especially if she's a woman. And again, this can happen with the best intention guides, as well as we can actually project some father-daughter stuff on guides that are men. Like, this can happen. And so this is an important aspect to be aware of. And I'm going to talk about it a little bit more at the end of the episode, but pause and feel what has upset you. And if you are unsure, you can tell this to your mentor or guide. You can tell them how you feel, and their reaction would be the telling point. Again, I'll explain that more towards the end of the episode. But that's something to keep in mind. And it's kind of like a double-sided blade, because there's an element of that. So we have patterns of inadequacy, patterns of self-shame, patterns of beating ourselves up and needing validation and all of that, which can cause us to project on the best intention guide. And at the same time, a narcissistic guru can actually tell you and use these words to manipulate you into believing that you're the problem and it's not them. So it's something that we need to tread carefully. And it is a double-sided blade. So the purpose of this episode is to try and give you some tools and some awareness so that you're not falling into a trap of a narcissistic guru and get manipulated and controlled and hurt. And at the same time that you are able to actually feel into yourself and take responsibility for the part that may be your part that is being projected, because sometimes the two things can actually be happening at the same time. So you may have a very valid point towards the mentor or the guide that you're following, but at the same time there's also stuff that you are also needing to deal with. So the two things don't invalidate each other, and it can be tricky to tell the difference. So I'm just gonna give you as much as I can with this episode to support you in navigating this tricky situation. So with that said, there are cases where the guide has a behavior or behaviors that are recognizable as narcissistic, and they can become quite toxic to be around, not supportive of your healing journey. Actually, quite the opposite. So those same patterns of inadequacy and shame that we carry as daughters of narcissistic mothers can be used as levers to draw us in, alongside the patterns of seeking approval, validation, and needing to be seen and loved. All of this can be used, so a narcissistic guru can play on your shame, can play on your need for attention, can play on your need of for validation and your need to be accepted in order to bring you in, to suck you into their game. And all of this can also be the perfect supply for the narcissistic guru, who is looking to give satisfaction to their inflated ego. So they want to be followed. They want someone, they want the adoring crowd. They want to have someone that tells them how amazing they are and how much of an expert they are in their field and all of that. And they also want to boost their public image and success. So, of course, having someone that is seeking validation, that is seeking approval, that feels very inadequate and shamed about themselves, is the perfect supply for a narcissistic guru. And a narcissistic guru will have all the tactics we know narcissists can use to manipulate you into trusting them, into opening up, and into follow what they say. Very much like a narcissistic mother, very much like any narcissist. They will use guilt tripping, love bombing, gaslighting, drawing you in, pretending to be like the best listener in the world, and all of that. Triangulation, you name it. All of those tactics that you already know from listening to this podcast and from listening to other sources that are typical of a narcissistic mother, you will find them the very same. And that's why sometimes as daughters of narcissistic mothers, we can be more vulnerable to this type of narcissistic guru person, because there is a subconscious part of us that recognizes these behaviors as familiar, and the subconscious likes what's familiar. So even though rationally we know it's toxic, we still fall into it because it reminds us of our parents in some way. Again, this is subconscious. It's not that we're consciously doing that. So I've been searching for healing since I was in my teens. And although I've been blessed to meet some real mentors who truly helped me and offered much needed guidance, and I'm so grateful for them, I've also met quite a number of narcissistic gurus with disastrous results. I've met men who disguised as healers were in fact preying on vulnerable women, me included, to get fuel for their egos and to also get their beds warmed up. And I've met women who presented themselves as loving guides, but upon knowing them better, were shaming their students directly or in passive-aggressive ways. And I came out from some of these interactions feeling worse than ever. My ability to trust, which was already not great to begin with, coming from a highly narcissistic family, was destroyed at times in my life, and it has taken a long time to rebuild. The first time I sought help with a therapist, just to give you a couple of examples to tell you why this topic is so important to me and why I really wanted to talk about it in this podcast. So when I first sought help with a therapist, I was in my early 20s. Now, I had had mentors before, but this was like the first time I actually went to a full-on therapist. And this does not mean that I have issues with therapists. I also met amazing therapists in my life experience. This was one example. So I was coming out of a difficult situation that involved my narcissistic mother and a narcissistic guru. So quite the combo. And I had lost everything I had been working on. So after a couple of sessions, the woman told me I was toxic, I was broken without repair. She invalidated everything I said, and she told my boyfriend at the time, which thankfully didn't listen because he's now my husband, but she told him that he'd do well to find someone else. So again, please, if you are a therapist listening to this, or if you are a person that goes to therapy, know that I have also met amazing therapists and I'm grateful for them. This was one experience, but unfortunately, one experience goes a long way in hurting. This woman clearly had a lot of undealt stuff, and she was projecting it all. And I was in such a vulnerable place and so open that I got the full whack of it. I met a healer at some point, and he was quite famous and came highly recommended. And after seeing me for one session that lasted 5 minutes, his session was 5 minutes. This person had never seen me before, and he saw me for 5 minutes, in which he barely spoke. And so after this, I then overheard him speaking behind my back to his assistants, and one of them was at the time my boyfriend, now very much my ex-boyfriend, saying that there was nothing to be done about all the fear I carried inside, and again that I was not rescuable, as if I even wanted to be rescued by the guy. I've been in other situations where I've been told I was the best student, so quite the opposite. So these were like quite invalidating and diminishing and putting down kind of scenarios. I've also been in places where I've been told I was the best student. I was like appraised and made feel special, which with the mother wounds I carried and I wasn't aware of at the time, that was really like, it just really addictive for me, because my mother never did that. So to find someone that did that for me, that saw me, that understood me, that made me feel special, was intoxicating. And then after a while, I was told that there were conditions to it, like I never could use my own initiative or try different things or you know, bring in new stuff to what I was being taught. I had to stick to whatever the guru's teaching were, and that was it. I could never question and all of that. So I'm sharing these experiences with you not to frighten you, but because the more awareness you can bring when you choose where to place your trust, the less risk of getting hurt like I have been. It's gonna be there. Reaching out for help is a vulnerable thing to do. That's why it is so courageous. I'm always telling you how courageous you are in being here, reaching out for help, when you're sending me your emails, when you're sharing your experience with me. That's such a courageous act. We come from an incredibly unsafe childhood, emotionally speaking and physically speaking sometimes. So to actually have the courage to reach out is incredible. It's amazing. I honor you so deeply for that. So it is important that the person who offers to be of support is truly safe. So how can you recognize a narcissistic guru? Here I have listed some of the major red flags. So I want to go through them with you. And again, these are like major telling points. When you find one or more of this, then you know there's something that's off, and you gotta go into your feeling system, into your inner wisdom, and you're gonna question things. So first, number one, truth telling. You know that that's something that a narcissistic mother does as well, yeah? So a narcissistic guru doesn't offer their experience as an example, but they state facts and truth. So for example here, I brought my own experience to offer you an example. I could tell you that's just how it is. That's how everyone out there is. That's how everyone that's not me out there is. And that would be an example of truth-telling, which is not safe at all. So their opinions are the only correct way to view a situation, much like a narcissistic mother's truth-telling. And they will bring or create, with lies, evidence of how true what they say is, like a narcissistic mother would do, yeah? Number two, a narcissistic guru has arrived. They've been there, they've done that, they're completely accomplished, they solved all their problems, and their life is now perfect. And they're gonna tell you that again and again and again. Which, as we know in this journey that is life, there's no such a thing as having arrived. We're always in motion. We're always expanding. We're always growing. New layers of shadow come into the light. New depths to the coping strategies, to the trauma responses, to the wounds that you carry. It's like a never-ending journey. And no one has ever arrived. But they will tell you that they have arrived. Number three, they're highly judgmental. A narcissistic guru will often judge and criticize anyone doing it differently from them. This can be done directly attacking or with more veiled sort of passive-aggressive comments. This will leave you with a feeling that you can't ever object or mention that you're also following someone else, that you're doing something wrong if you're also exploring different methods. That's a bad thing to do. There's only one method and it's their method. And point number four follows this. They are the only true expert. Again, their image is everything, so they will portray themselves as the only real expert. Everyone else is just catching up to them. They may tell you outright not to follow others. I've had teachers that have told me that I would have been way too confused if I followed different methods, so that for my own well-being and for my sake, I should only follow what they said, because otherwise it was going to be confusing. And there are situations, and I do understand that, like, I've taught horse riding for years, and there are situations that where you're listening to a lot of different people, actually in the end you don't know what to do, and it can get confusing. So there are aspects to it that can be true in that, but when it becomes like an absolute truth and their teachings are the only thing that's valid out there and everyone else is wrong, that's a major red flag. Point number five, they will have golden students and scapegoat ones, much like the golden child and the scapegoat child, okay? So the student that does it all perfect and never questions the guru becomes the golden student, the one they praise, the one that makes the guru look good in public. The scapegoat student is the one who asks questions that the narcissistic guru can't answer, therefore makes them look bad. So the scapegoat student gets all the blame for everything that's not going right. Point number six, they have followers instead of students or clients. A narcissistic guru has followers, people that depend on them. And as followers, they have to remain such, never to surpass the master, so to speak. And I have had teachers that called themselves masters. They were the master and everyone else was below them. And they were the only one that could tell the followers when they could come up the ranking, kind of thing. You know, you needed the master's blessing to be told, okay, now you're good. Now you're able to do things. It's a very toxic system. A true teacher will want their students to become better than them. A true healer will want their clients to follow what works best for them in order to heal. A narcissistic guru wants to be needed and to be known as the best, so they will do anything to remain on top, even if that goes completely against your needs. Point number seven, their public image is more important than you. If they have done something wrong, it's not them, it's you that's to blame. A narcissistic guru will never take responsibility for a mistake or for not explaining something clearly or for not holding the whole truth and knowledge. If their truth-telling advice bombing doesn't work for you, you're the only one they will blame, saying you're too broken or not doing enough. Point number eight, conditions to your healing. A narcissistic guru sets conditions to your healing, or to you deserving anything good at all, much like the conditional love of a narcissistic mother. And much like when I was required, for example, bedroom performances if I wanted true healing. That was a condition on my healing. Who can do that? No one can set conditions on your healing. And also they may threaten you, saying that they know things will be horrible for you if you don't follow them and their conditions. So you either do what they say or you're going to lose everything in life. Your life is going to be horrible, much like a narcissistic partner telling you that if you break up with them, you're never going to find another partner and you're going to lose everything. Or a narcissistic mother that tells you that if you go against her, your life is going to be miserable. You know, the same thing. So that's a narcissistic guru can act very much the same. Point number nine, they are the only one you can trust. That's what they tell you. Again, much like a narcissistic mother that wants to be your confidant, that wants to be the only person you seek advice from, a narcissistic guru will want you to believe they're the only one you can trust, the only one you can open up to, the only one who sees you, and in the meantime are collecting ammunition to use to control you and manipulate you so they can meet their needs. Number 10, no criticism allowed. You will get put down, criticized, ignored, shamed in front of others if you don't agree with them. A narcissistic guru will also take any criticism personally. They are the only one allowed to dish out judgments. The other way around is not an option. So if you tell them something that is critical about them, they will take it personal and react really, really badly. And that's what I was saying earlier, when sometimes we don't sort of know if it's us actually projecting things or if it's really a situation. If you try to communicate to them and what you're saying is taken personally, well, then that's a good indication that that's something that they're doing that is not on. And that's okay. Like, even the most well-intentioned guide can actually have personal reactions. But it's when they just point the finger at you, blame you, and put them back on you, that's when that's not on. So, point 11. Isolation. A narcissistic guru will try to isolate you from people who may see them for who they are. You know, like if you have friends, if you have maybe family that is not actually narcissistic, who can see the guru for who they are and can actually warn you about them, then they will try to isolate from those people. Triangulation is to be expected. Again, much like a narcissistic mother that will triangulate to separate you from friends, or will triangulate with your husband and partner to keep you isolated and to keep you an easy target. You're way easier a target if you're on your own. If you have friends and family behind you, it's way harder to control you. Point number 12, lies. A narcissistic guru will lie about their life. This doesn't mean that every guide or public figure has to disclose their private life completely to you. It is okay to be private and still be of support. But lies are a different thing. A narcissistic guru will project an image of themselves that is built on lies in order to keep everything shiny and appealing and draw you in. They will never tell you that things are going wrong for them. Unless it's like, again, it's a clever move to seem more human. I've seen that done. Like the fake vulnerability, that does happen too. But it's tactical. It's not actually true vulnerability. The things that they really would feel vulnerable about, they lie outright about those things. They'll never reveal their belly. They'll never show their underbelly, ever. They will always be tactically vulnerable, but not truly vulnerable. It's like the fake tears. I've seen that sometimes, and it's interesting. It's an interesting process when you see people pretending to cry over something, and you know they're not vulnerable about it. So that's the lies. The image always has to be shiny, has to be the expert that's on top of everything. Life is sorted. I'm absolutely great. And you are all gonna follow me because I'm so great. Point number 13, dishing out labels. A narcissistic guru is fond of labels to give everyone else, of course, to keep you under control. A label is a mean to control you. Whatever the label is, even if it's just to label you as the same as them, or labels are something that they love particularly. Number 14, invalidate your emotions. So a narcissistic guru will invalidate your emotions. Of course, at the beginning, you will be sucked in with total validation and understanding. But as the relationship deepens, your emotions will be invalidated or shamed until you feel like you're more broken than you were when you started. So these are the main red flags to look out for in order to keep yourself safe when seeking guidance and support. I get so many emails from listeners who have been burnt before, and they're afraid to sign up for something else. They may reach out and they may want to book a free call, but then they're scared because, oh my God, if you know, this has happened to me before, what if it's going to happen to me again? And I so feel for you. I've been there so many times. Asking for help was so unsafe in my family that working up the courage to reach out was extremely difficult for me. It still is challenging even now, and I have tools to work with it in order to move through the process when I need support. And yet it's still challenging. I know that. Like, I have to be honest. I can't tell you, oh no, I have it sorted. I don't feel challenged anymore. I hurt my ankle recently and I was in a position where I couldn't actually do a lot of stuff that I normally do. And I had to ask for help quite a bit because I couldn't walk. So I needed help, and that was challenging. That was very, very vulnerable place to be. So it still happens. And before, I didn't even have the tools that I have now. So people who use that vulnerability for their own gain have caused me a lot of pain in the past. And I really, truly wish for no one to experience that ever. It's something I'm extremely careful of in my work, making sure listeners feel safe in this space and that my clients feel safe within the containers I offer, and even outside my work, that my children feel safe with me, that my partner, like, it's really something, the levels of unsafety I've experienced, and I know you're like nodding and you've been unsafe so much in your life growing up that you can understand this. I know you can. So I really, really, really want people to feel safe in the containers I create. And it truly warms my heart when women I work with tell me they never felt safer. That's actually, for me, that's the highest acknowledgement I can receive, because it, like, okay, it means that part. Maybe I'm not doing anything else right, but that part is working, and that's important. Making anyone feel unsafe or bad about themselves is the last thing I want. And as I mentioned earlier, if that has happened, that I unwittingly made anyone feel unsafe, I do apologize. I so deeply honor the immense courage it takes in being here, searching ways to heal and reclaim your life by listening to this podcast and other sources that you're listening to, in reaching out for help. This is such a sacred path, and no one can tell you that you're doing it wrong, or that you're too broken, or that you're broken at all, for that matter, because you're not broken. You are an amazing human with a precious heart, and you are on the perfect path for you. So anyone telling you otherwise have their own agenda, and they're not worth your time. Now, with all of that, I went on a bit of a tangent there, but about what to do when you meet a narcissistic guru. So we got all the red flags, but you may have met ones before, or you're going to meet some in your future. So what do we do when we meet them? Well, turn the other way and walk away as fast as you can would be the obvious answer. Unfortunately, it is not that simple. And we know that it's not that simple. Otherwise, we would never get tangled up with narcissists. We wouldn't get in relationship with narcissistic people. We wouldn't get into friendship with narcissistic people. We wouldn't be working for narcissistic bosses. And we wouldn't get tangled up with narcissistic gurus. But it's not that simple. Very often, we're actually quite tangled up before realizing the true nature of the person we're dealing with. As I mentioned, they have a way to seem super lovely at the start. So please don't beat yourself up if you end up entangled with people like this. Because even with the most awareness, we can all fall prey of a person that is very skilled in appearing a certain way. So if you have fallen into the trap of the narcissistic guru in the past, and maybe you've actually come out of it, but you're looking back on it, please don't beat yourself up. Use it as a potent lesson. This person you followed clearly gave you something your subconscious needed. And I know that this is really, that can be controversial, and that can actually make you feel like, what? What are you talking about? I didn't need anything from that person. That was just a bad person. And And yes, their behavior was incorrect and toxic, and I am never gonna say otherwise. But there is no shame in bringing awareness to the fact that to fall prey of people like this, it means that there's some subconscious need that we are looking to have met. And it's a subconscious thing. It's something we're not aware of. I had to learn that for myself for sure after years of feeling bad and very foolish for how many times I seem to have fallen in the same traps. There's no shame. A part of me needed something I wasn't aware of at the time and went at it from the needs of the subconscious. I wanted to be loved. I wanted validation. I wanted acceptance and appreciation more than anything else. My mother never gave it to me. My father rarely, and even there were so many conditions even to his way of giving appreciation and validation to me. So I sought that. My subconscious wanted that so badly that I would take it in any form it came, even if it was really, really toxic. There's no shame in that. But learning that about yourself, learning from the experience and realize what that was, I now can catch it. So you, if you can learn from those experiences, what was that need that you were trying to meet? Really, like deeply. What was that need? Not the superficial need of, well, I needed to do yoga and I needed a yoga teacher. That's the superficial need. But what was the need in behind? What was the actual subconscious need that brought you to get tangled up? Again, that doesn't make the behavior of the other person any less bad. That's their thing. And it's still a very good decision not to be involved with those people anymore. But for you to learn, get into what was that subconscious need can be extremely, extremely healing and helpful, because it's what's going to prevent it from happening again. If you don't uncover what was the subconscious need, that subconscious need is going to get you to fall into similar traps again and again and again until you learn. So that's really, really important. I know for myself that has been what has made the difference, what has really helped me to stop that cycle of getting tangled up in things I was better off not getting tangled up. So use the experience as a valuable lesson. Ask yourself and be as honest about it as you can, even if the answer isn't pretty. The answer for me wasn't always a very pretty one. I had to face some interesting aspects of myself. But what were you looking for? What was the need underneath the surface that you were looking to meet? And this can truly help you, as I say, not to fall into the same trap again. Now, if you are realizing you are now somehow following a narcissistic guru, so presently in your life, you're tangled up and you're listening to this and you're like, oh, wow, that actually really just describes the situation that I have with this person. Remember that you can set boundaries. Doesn't matter how high and mighty they present themselves to you as, you have the right to set boundaries with anyone. If something they do or say doesn't work for you, set your boundaries. If following them has become unhelpful and toxic for you, you can always unfollow. There's no need to explain or justify, much like when you set boundaries with a narcissistic mother. No explaining, no justifying. And there's not even the need to get nasty with comments and kind of just start going on the attack, because that actually gets the worst of their behaviors also coming to the surface. It's not going to be helpful. Just unfollow and do your own things. If they get upset about it, that's their problem, not yours. And it seems ironic to say this, but seek support. When I got tangled up with the worst narcissistic guru I ever met in my own life, I tried to solve it all on my own. Not only didn't work, but it caused me so much more pain and it just really ruined quite a portion of my life. When I finally got help, when I actually picked up courage again and looked for support, things got resolved. So seek support with someone who can truly help you getting out of a difficult situation. You don't have to do this alone. sometimes it can be quite intense, and alone is not the right solution. You get support from someone that can truly help you. Again, remember your path is your own and it is sacred. Guidance and support might be needed, but that doesn't give anyone the right to tell you that you are wrong, broken, hopeless, or that how you feel is not valid. No one can say that about you. Also, sometimes, this is something I had mentioned that I would say at the end. Also, sometimes guides and mentors may not be aware that a behavior of theirs or something they say is causing you pain or discomfort. So, as with everything, there are outright narcissistic gurus and also guides who have the best intentions but still have their blind spots. They're not aware of them, and then makes them human. It's a little bit like we spoke about this, about the narcissistic mother. There are narcissistic mothers that just fit the perfect descriptions, and then there are mothers that are brilliant mothers in many ways, but they have narcissistic tendencies or maybe occasional narcissistic behaviors. And with some, when we're going in the outright narcissistic mother space, then that's really hard to actually have a conversation and communicate. But when you're going more towards the end of the spectrum of a mother that has some behaviors that tend to be narcissistic, but overall she's not, well, then you can actually talk. And there's more of a capacity to have a dialogue. There is a spectrum. It's not all black and white. So sometimes talking to these people can really be of support. I've been in that situation with the mentors of mine. At first, I thought I had fallen in yet another trap. I got really upset about something that was said. And then I spoke about how what they said or did made me feel with them. And I was listened with open mind. I was actually quite surprised and guided to yet another layer of depth. So the person not only listened, took responsibility for their part, and then also supported me through the part that I was projecting and the need that I was seeking underneath in the subconscious and all of that. And actually, it was amazing. It was a great experience. And I've had plenty of that. So the best way to tell the difference between if it's like a really highly narcissistic guru you're dealing with, or if it's your own undealt stuff, or a bit of both, is to communicate. Unless like you're in major red flag zone that is like staring you in the face, and you know communicating is only going to make it worse. But a lot of the times you can actually communicate. And a fully narcissistic guru, if you actually try to communicate, will get either very upset, will take it really personal, and will try and manipulate you again. So again, you'll be really able to tell. That'll be like the final test. It's like, I've tried to speak up. I've actually tried to express how I was feeling, and they took it the whole wrong way. And what happened was just not on again. So you know for a fact that that person is very much stuck in their own needs, in their own ego, and they're not actually there to support you or for your best interest. In general, remember, you can set boundaries with your mentor. You can say when something doesn't sit with you. You don't need to please your mentor or to be approved by them. Approval is not the thing at all. They're there to support you, not to approve of you. You can use the best of different methods and not have to feel bad or guilty or wrong for doing that. You don't need more shaming in your life or more judgment or someone pointing out everything you're doing wrong, being it a mentor or an influencer or anyone else. You don't need more opinions or labels put on you. You are seeking healing. And a mentor or guide is only there to provide safe support. Safe support. Safe support. Safe is so important. No healing happens if you don't feel safe. So safe support, a safe container, and the acknowledgement that you are already amazing and perfect as you are, and that you are on your path. And they are there only to support you along that path. Not to tell you what path to be on, not to tell you how to do it, none of that. They're there to support you. And there's different ways to do that. We all have different techniques, tools, and ways, and different experiences we're basing where we're coming from, different studies, different qualifications, all of that. That's all okay. But the ultimate, most important common thing is that it has to create a safe container for you. That's the most important thing. If it doesn't do that, then that's not the place to be. So I hope this was helpful. As I said, it was an intense topic. It was a long episode because a lot needed to be said. And I may have left something out. So if you have reflections on these or if you have questions, feel free to share in the comments or to email me at mathilde@womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me for any questions you may have. So with that said, I'm going to wish you a wonderful week and send you lots and lots of love. Bye for now.